Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Jamie Floyd and for Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Two athletes died after participating in this weekend's Nauticut New York City Triathlon, and organizers of the race are now considering more documentation of physical fitness, training, and experience as a requirement to participate. Now, participation in competitions like triathlons or Ironman competitions have risen dramatically in recent years. If extreme exercising competition is a fad, then it might be a dangerous one, since triathlon-related injuries and even fatalities are on the rise as well. It's difficult to make sense of sudden deaths, but researchers have studied the incidence of fatalities in triathlons and have found that, without a doubt, the swimming portion, which usually comes first, takes the most lives. Fatalities are not common. Statistically speaking, these races are not dangerous, but the shock of jumping into the water surrounded by hundreds of other swimmers in a river that's very, very different from a swimming pool where you're swimming laps is proving perilous for some athletes, as it was for the man and the woman who died after last weekend's event. Joining me now to talk about the draw of these triathlons is Jordan Metzel, sports medicine physical at the Hospital for Special Surgery. He's a 28-time marathon runner and a 9-time Ironman finisher. And he's also a medical columnist for Triathlete magazine. Doctor, welcome.
Thank you, Jamie. Nice to talk to you.
Now, Dr. Metzel, I have heard you on the air before, and I knew you were quite an athlete, but I didn't know how many times you've run marathons.
Well, so I don't want to sit around and collect dust, so I have to tell you straight off the bat, you're talking to somebody who is strongly in favor of getting Americans up and moving.
I believe it.
And furthermore, I heard your intro, which is certainly, those are important points to talk about anytime there's a fatality in anything, but certainly in these kind of sports and activities, people are understandably tremendously concerned, and we should absolutely talk, you know, in this next bit of time about how we're going to make sports like triathlon and marathon running safer, which we always do. But it also needs to be put in proper perspective. The risk of death from triathlon is about 1.5 per 100,000 participants. For marathon runners, it's half that, about 0.8 per 100,000. From driving in a car, it's about 10 per 100,000, and riding a motorcycle is about 70 per 100,000. So when you kind of put this in the context of other things that people do to get to a race, it's statistically way more dangerous to get there than actually to do the race.
Yes. And in fact, we do this often in news. We always focus on very interesting, though rather unusual, events, and it's always important to focus on the realities, and driving remains one of the most dangerous American activities, and that's why it's never reported when someone dies in a car accident, because it's not terribly interesting. But we do want to make sure that when people participate in these very exciting events and generally very safe events, that they do so in a way that is safe. And that's why we have you, someone who's done this many times, on to help us understand how to do that. And we want our listeners, Doctor, to participate as well. The number is 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, especially anyone who, like Dr. Metzel, has run, or you don't run, you run, swim, and bike a triathlon or a marathoner, or if you've participated in an Ironman or Ironwoman competition. Please give us a call about your experience. Now, I did want to ask you if you could, Jordan, to tell us a little bit about this particular triathlon, the New York City Nautica Triathlon. And my kids and my husband and I were out and we watched a bit of it.
Sure.
But give us a bit of the specs on the distances involved in this one.
Sure. So triathlon, just from your listeners may not be familiar, is a terrific sport that has many distances, including an Olympic distance, which is what the New York City is. There's a sprint, which is half that. Generally, the Olympic distance is about a mile swim, a 25, 26-mile bike, and then a 10K run. There's a half Ironman, which is a 1.2-mile swim, a 56-mile bike, and then a half marathon, 13.1 miles. And then there's the Ironman, which actually I just finished one about 2 weeks ago, which is a 2.4-mile swim, 112-mile bike, and then running a marathon. These distances are somewhat arbitrary. The whole ideology analogy of the Iron Man comes from a group of Navy SEALs who decided to, in Oahu, sitting around being Navy SEALs, were trying to figure out who could be the toughest of the group, and they came up with these somewhat arbitrary distances, and their history has kind of lived on with the different distances of these different races. Now, I will tell you, I'm sorry, James.
Well, I just want to ask this question. The Navy SEAL thing would give me cause to pause. I would think, well, if those guys have started it, maybe it's not for me.
But it
seems many people think that the fact that it's three different sports combined would make it easier. But that's a little counterintuitive, isn't it? Maybe the three different sports combined makes it more challenging, not less so.
That's not been my experience. I mean, I've been amazed, having done all different distances of these races and other races, that it really is a sport that's open to all different people of different body types. You may have noticed on Sunday when you were out there that there are different ages, there are different sizes of people.
Yes.
In some ways, triathlon is more forgiving than marathon running because you spend quite a lot of time on the bike, and the training is cross-training. It's not only running. When I've come on your show before here with Brian to talk about New York City Marathon and training for a marathon, in my office coming up next month, I'm besieged with runners who've hurt themselves training for the marathon. I don't get that same volume of injury from triathlon training because it encourages different disciplines in different muscle groups. And the cross-training is actually very beneficial to people, and it reduces their injury risk. And we've kind of looked at that from musculoskeletal injuries for a long time. Triathletes train longer, and yet they're hurt much less often than people who just run. So from a musculoskeletal point of view, it's probably safer than is training and doing a marathon.
And yet it is a very, very serious competition. I mean, people do have stress fractures, injuries to their tendons and knees if they don't train properly. They can break their collarbone, which is that serious injury that bikers have, even if they're not training for a triathlon. It's a common bike injury. So people should take it very seriously, as they would any athletic activity.
Absolutely. So there are different types of injuries we see in sports medicine. So in my office this morning, I have a combination of both acute traumatic injuries, somebody who fell on their bike and broke their collarbone, and also overuse injuries, injuries that happen over time. So your shin hurts when you run, and over time you develop a stress fracture. In running, we see almost exclusively overuse injuries because these injuries build up over time and people neglect them, and they don't realize how serious they are, and they come in with an injury when it's much worse. Triathlon, we see a combination of overuse injuries but also acute traumatic injuries, things like collarbone fractures that happen acutely because you're moving at much higher speeds on your bicycle, and sometimes things happen in the water as well. And then this issue of cardiac safety is also quite interesting to us and something we're going to be looking at, I think, in the future, because it is true that the risk of cardiac-related death, though it is much less common than other forms of death, as we described at the beginning, is about double in triathlon than it is during marathon. And, you know, it's something, there are a number of theories as to why that is, but I think the truth is that it is, and so we have to kind of think about why that may be happening.
Let's take a call from Dan in Bridgewater, New Jersey. I think Dan would like to weigh in on our conversation. Dan, you're on WNYC. Thank you for calling.
Hi, I was a cross-country captain, and my son is a triathlon and all of these other various kinds of marathon stress sports activist. I enjoy them very much, and I think they're terrific, but I do think that we should consider that there is an inflammatory, sclerotic process, epigenetic process that develops. Epigenetic meaning it's not your genes, but the way your genes are operated, that develops over time. So at the back end of your life, you do pay for this excellent physique and health situation, and there is deterioration that's much more intense than there would be otherwise.
Dan, thank you for your call. And Jordan, you want to comment on that?
I sure would, Dan. I've actually found that not to be the case at all. That, you know, I think that one thing that has become increasingly apparent to me as I go to different races, participate, speak, and lecture, and have a number of patients that come in to see me in their 70s and 80s who've been active their entire lives, I think that basically tissue perfusion, your brain, your heart, your muscles, your bones, is so tremendously exercise helps that so much. My patients who've exercised every single day and exercised hard every single day are just in so much better shape all around, from their brains to what they can do. There have been a number of animal models looking at basically, there was one study that was published last year where they had one group of mice who did nothing for about 5 months and one group of mice who were run on a treadmill. And they then euthanized them and looked at their cell deterioration. And they found that the mice who exercised every single day to a very hard level were basically much younger than the mice who were basically sitting around functionally watching TV, doing nothing. So there's a lot of evidence that exercising every day is wonderfully beneficial, and there's no kind of additive, cumulative concept that it kind of you pay for it at the end of your life.
Well, and I suppose many people would say they would take the chance anyway because they so love the activity that they wouldn't want to get to be 80, 85, or even 75 without engaging in this activity that they love along the way. But I do have to ask you about the swimming component, because it does seem that is where most of the collapses and or fatalities occur in the triathlon. Now, what is it about the swimming, Jordan? Is it the fact that it's first and there's just too much of a shock to the body? Is it the fact that they're swimming in rivers rather than swimming pools? I know that you're not running a triathlon competition, that you participate in them, but given that you're a doctor and that you've done so many of them, what's your sense of why that is so challenging for the participants?
Sure. Well, I guess a couple comments on that. First of all, I think this concept of pre-screening people to do at athletic events, for example, if you were going to do the Paris Marathon, you would have to get a signed letter by a doctor saying you were healthy enough to do the Paris Marathon. We don't do that in the United States, and I'm not sure we should be, but I think the concept of everybody can do everything may not be totally true, that there's kind of an athletic Darwinism that you can do one event, so you do another event. Here, we often see people just sign up for a big event straight out of the gate, and that may not be healthy, number one. But in terms of swimming particularly, your direct question of what makes that the most worrisome to us, it's some combination of you're kind of in a, you know, you can't see very well, there's a whole bunch of people swimming all over you. It's something, it's very off-putting, and if you've not done this and you're not used to it, it certainly can be anxiety-provoking and producing, and it's not surprising that we see this higher number of cardiac-related issues in the water.
So in my last 30 seconds, what's your advice to those contemplating the triathlon to know whether they are the right candidate for this particular event?
Sure. Well, first of all, I would encourage everybody to think about doing them because I think they're wonderful, but my column for Triathlete that comes out in October was all about cardiac safety that I wrote actually 2 weeks ago, and in that I talked about that if you have a history of heart disease, if there's a family history, if you've had chest pain, athletes tend to minimize symptoms. They notoriously are terrible at going to the doctor unless it's broken or falling off. So when it comes to your heart, don't mess around. That if you are having chest pain, if you feel kind of weak, short of breath, etc., please get it checked out by your doctor. Go in for your routine checkups because you don't want to mess around with your heart. And unfortunately, even though cardiac death is the most common cause of fatality in all sports, the vast majority of patients that get these or athletes are totally asymptomatic until it happens. So if you have any warning signs, please get it checked out.
Excellent advice, and we will leave it there on that fine piece of advice. My guest has been Dr. Jordan Metzl. He is a sports medicine physician at the Hospital for Special Surgery. He is a 28-time marathon runner, so you want to take his advice, a 9-time Ironman finisher, and a medical columnist for Triathlete magazine. You'll want to check out that last column he just wrote on triathlons. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, Jamie. Pleasure.
I'm Jimmy Floyd in for Brian Lehrer. Coming up next, I'm going to talk to my friend John McWhorter all about language.